Derek.
Hey, Trey.
Dude, we got somebody on the phone today.
We sure do.
You worked hard. You got us Slade Varola writing for HBI out in the West Coast series. They're getting started back going to Seattle this weekend. So why not get somebody that's going to be racing it on the line and talk about how their pro debut is going and how they feel about the West Coast series. So, Slade, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. For those of you that don't know, Slade was, what, fourth place finisher last year at Supercross Futures?
Yep.
He is now HBI's, our own hometown hometown race team. He's their West Coast 250 guy, 250 rookie this year. Been doing excellent.
You've
been having some seriously great results. You did a good ride last year, too. Like, I watched the whole Futures. I knew you were an up-and-coming, promising rider, so it's a pleasure to have you on, but let's dig right in and tell us a little bit about Slade.
Yeah, so my career's been a little different. Like, up until now, my program's just kind of been real loose, just all about fun, you know, public school, all through high school, you know, graduated through public school, all that. And yeah, so last year I did the Supercross Futures. I really enjoy the Supercross, you know, portion of the series, and it's just, it's kind of like a different atmosphere. This awesome opportunity with HBI came up, and I couldn't say yes quick enough. So I'm super stoked for the opportunity, and couldn't be more thankful.
Yeah, that's awesome. HBI is a fantastic team. As I told you, we know Matt really well. We do quite a bit of them with down here in Florida, with all the amateur series and then all the pro stuff as well. Like I said, they're a great group of guys. They got a really good thing going. I'm glad they brought you on.
Were you going to go pro this year no matter what?
So it's kind of a long story. So I raced the LA Coliseum, like Futures or All-Star or whatever they called it. And I ended up taking third, and, I had about two sponsors say, "Hey, good job." And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to go to school. You know, I enrolled in community college. I was taking three classes. And then, you know, October came around, all the contracts were being signed, all the press releases, all that, and everyone started riding Supercross again. Saw it all over Instagram, like, man, I need a ride. And this is like 2 months after not riding at all. And so I got back out on Supercross, and then the Idaho Arena Cross was coming. I'm like, let's go race. And I ended up making the A-main the first night, and it was really fun. It kind of got me back into it. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to train. I'm going to get ready for Futures. That was just kind of the plan all along. Just do Futures, not do any like the amateur nationals. And then I was going to make my like pro debut and just do like kind of like the West Coast pro motocross rounds, mm-hmm. or at least the ones I can make it to. But yeah, this opportunity came up like middle of December. And so far it's been awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Cause I was actually reading through your bio stuff, and you've been in stadium since you were a little kid. You were actually one of those kids that won the KTM Supercross Challenge.
Yeah. Yep. I think it was 2013 at A3.
That's so cool. Like you hear those stories, but you actually don't really like see that many people or meet somebody that's actually been there, done that. So how was that experience as a little kid versus now you're doing it to get paid? What's that transition like?
Well, it was really cool. It was kind of surreal, like, you know, showing up. My mom actually mentioned it to me, you know, obviously A3, and then my debut was at A1. So same stadium. It was really cool. And just from being a little kid who like dreamt of it, like I'm still trying to tell myself like, hey, I'm living the dream. Like I'm racing in the stadiums, you know, I've made a few mains, and like, this is cool. This is what I've always wanted to do. And it's a lot nicer too, being pro. You're kind of out of the amateur scene. And then you can kind of realize how organized and everything the pro races are, mm-hmm. and the amateur stuff is just so hectic. So I'm like, this year everyone's like spring nationals. I'm like, oh wait, I don't have to do those this year. Like this is awesome. Like, you know, I don't have to spend 3 weeks on the road and miss a bunch of school and, you know, have to deal with all the teachers and all that. So it was, it's been nice.
Cool.
That's awesome. So I always ask this to all the pro riders we talk to. What's it like for you to sit on the gate and be able to look up at the fans just lined up, you know, right before a main event? You know, give us an insight of that feeling.
Oof. I still kind of get butterflies in my stomach every time. And I thought like at this point, like even for the heat races, I'm like, okay, yep. Like still get just a little bit nervous. Like I've looked up I've looked up to a lot of these, you know, these dudes that I'm lined up next to. So, to now be racing them, it's like I said, it's kind of surreal. And it's just, it's a weird feeling. I don't know how to describe it, but it's crazy. And, you know, like I said, I just try to keep reminding myself that I'm here. I'm trying to live the dream and have fun and try to take it in as best as I can.
Yeah, they say if you don't get those butterflies, you don't care. So it's good that you get the butterflies. It's okay. It's a matter of being able to work through those butterflies and yep. and have that success. But, no, that's awesome. I can only imagine what it's like when they say drop the lights and they start doing intros and the voice of God comes on. Yeah. And I mean, and then you're sitting there because you're watching intros, but you're like, if you're yep. the first heat, you're there. Yep. So that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah. A1 was – I was so nervous – like going into the night show that I could barely eat. And like that ruined my night for me. Cause I just didn't eat it all. I had no fuel, but I was just like asking them, like, dude, what do you do for your nerves? And they're like, don't even think about it. And yeah, it kind of destroyed my night. But after A1, it's definitely settled down a lot. Especially now, like I feel like my starts are pretty good. And my speed is there to make mains. I just need to work a little bit on the intensity, but, yeah, I've just been enjoying it. And that's kind of like the main takeaway. Have fun and enjoy it. And yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, you're looking good out there. And that's a question I was going to ask you is how are the nerves now at this point?
Yeah.
Now that you've got a few in the bag, you know, you've pulled some hole shots. You've done well. I know you've had some mishaps, some pretty big get offs, but that's part of racing. You know, we're all in that world. It happens. But are the nerves at this point very calm, like you, it's more like a job at this point, or are you still?
I'm trying to look at it as a job. I'm also trying to keep it fun. But yeah, I've had a few big get offs, I think, from being a little bit nervous and not riding to like the best of my abilities. And it kind of comes back to bite me. Like A2, I went a little long, on like one of the rhythms and ended up splitting my lip open and had to get stitches after free practice. And I actually made the Triple Crown main that night. So went from sitting in the medics for getting stitches to, you know, lining up for the main event. So that was cool, but definitely the nerves, like I'm still trying to get used to, you know, like last year for futures that on Friday, they let us practice. Right. And then, we qualify for Saturday and then we get more practice on Saturday. So, you know, walk the track and free practice, just getting going really quick is something that I'm still working on. But I'm trying to, you know, take a step back and look at this year as like a learning curve, and just take each hit as a learning experience.
Yeah, that's the best way to look at it, because a lot of people don't understand. You guys have about 8 minutes to learn a track. You know, if you're not part of press day, then you get very, very little time to master the track before you start qualifying.
Yep.
And most people do not understand that from a fan standpoint. Us, as a standpoint, like we're there. Like I said, we, you know, we have a 450 rider. We're there. We get to experience it. But for, you know, kids like you that are coming up, that the amateur world is much different than the pro world. And there's no tracks like Supercross. So,
yep.
You know, what's it like to try to master a track within 8 minutes time of free practice and then straight into qualifying?
Yeah, so I think the pressure's definitely on, and like you go to these practice tracks and you see everyone already ride before you or whatever, and you can go out and, you know, there's no tough blocks either, so that's yep. another big thing, you know, those things will bite you out of nowhere. But there's a big difference between like the stadium Supercross tracks versus like practice tracks. Just kind of how boxed all the rhythms are and just like the style of the build is a lot gnarlier than some of the practice tracks that we have, especially here in California. So it's difficult, but it's something like if you don't get it done in free practice and you have to wait, you know, your first qualifier is not so good. I mean, sometimes you don't get the second qualifier. I mean, look at Daytona, you know, they canceled it after the first one. And, you know, in San Fran, they gave us like they took away free practice and they gave us literally one qualifying. So you really have to figure it out quick. And it's difficult, but I think I'm getting the hang of it.
What's your training program look like? Because, you know, down here, the guys, they got a facility they ride at, and there's a lot of riders here that to train with. Do you have a crew that you can train with out there?
Yeah, so I train with Martin Costello over at World Moto, and I try to train with him at least once a week. It's a bit hard because I'm from Simi Valley, which is, you know, north of L.A., which we're 2 hours away from give or take, to all the tracks, like Supercross tracks. Like Paula is about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So that's that's kind of where everyone trains.
Yeah.
You know, luckily I have my mechanic, Jake DeRocher, and he takes the wheel, and we go down twice a week, like while we're racing. And then like these last 6 weeks, I've been trying to ride 2-3 times a week. I've been, you know, doing a little bit of outdoor stuff, but, yeah, it's just, it's difficult to get on the tracks, that are, you know, that far down there and get with the fast guys just because of how far we live. But you know, we do our best and we get it done.
I was just curious, cause that is one of the hard parts. People don't, you can, there's motocross tracks around, but finding a built supercross track to train on is a tough go. Yeah. And you would think California, the Mecca, there'd be tons, but like you're saying, you still got to go 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to one.
That's same.
Yeah, we
good.
Yeah. We used to have like Milestone used to be here, that closed down. And, what is it? Was it State Fair? They had one. Now there's Sun Fair out in Joshua Tree. They have a supercross track. They've been open. Lake Elsinore and Paula have been closed from the rain. We have Hemet, but that's like another 3 hours from my house. And then luckily we have a supercross track. It's about 45 minutes from my house. It's called Wyvern. And I train out there. Maybe I try to get out there as much as I can, but it's kind of hard just because it's a private track. And then it floods really easy because of the rain. So lately I've been going, making the trek all the way out to Joshua Tree to go ride at Sun Fair because it's just been the driest track.
Makes sense. I mean, it kind of is what it is. If you don't have a facility to train at, you have to do what you got to do. So,
yep.
I was looking through some of your stuff, and you did race quite a bit at Loretta Lynn's. And what was your what was your best result? Or I don't even care if you say the best result, but what was your most fun you ever had at Loretta Lynn's?
Probably not last year, but the year before. So 2022, I raced 250B Limited and 450B Limited, and it was a really fun year. It's kind of like I said, my program was really, really loose. We were just, like I said, I was still in school, having fun. It was my dad, my mom, and I, and my sister would come occasionally. But so I actually built my own race bike for Loretta's that year. We got there, you know, it was just all fun. Went out for practice, and I hadn't ridden in like a month because we took so long to get there and just kind of hung out and stopped to see some family on the way. And I got there, I'm like, man, I feel really good. Like, I don't know what you know, what's going on, but I feel really good. And the first moto, I think I was in third or fourth, and I ended up blowing out a rear wheel. And I was my own mechanic, so I had to go back, you know, wash the bike, take another wheel off my other bike, put it back on. Well, I go back out in 250 being limited, and my whole shot ended up third in a moto. And then in the last moto, I was in second, battling for first, which would have been the championship. I blew out another wheel.
Wow.
So I ended up fifth overall. And like, it's so kind of like, it's bittersweet, but it was such a fun year because I had no pressure. Like, we just, again, we go with the intent to have fun. And I feel like when you do that, you have the best result. You know, you ride loose, you ride, like, you know, you're just having fun. So that's kind of the main takeaway we try to get from it. But that was probably the best year just because I was up front, you know, and I was just stoked on my riding.
You've been to Loretta's. You've had some success. You've had, I think everybody at some point struggles there. And it's so, the track gets so beat. Compared to a guy that lives out in California, when you see the Blue Groove tracks, is that just a culture shock to go there and ride? Or did you get some practice in Texas at some of the other places?
I've never really, you know, gone out and done it like that. When I was on minis, I'd go out to North Carolina and to Daxton Benix with like the Deegans and go ride for a little bit. But last year I actually went to Grant Ranch with Josh Grant, and we trained a little bit for about a week, and that was sweet. His track's rad, you know, get used to the heat and humidity. And it was good. It was just last year, it just wasn't a really good year for me. We ended up leaving early because all the rain and stuff, and we just didn't want to destroy the bikes. And I still wanted to make my debut at, I think it was Bud's Creek. So we just decided to pack it up and then head to the Pro National.
Awesome. Yeah, it is a different life being pro versus amateur because, I mean, it's like literally a Daytona. They went Daytona, they went to Texas, and then they stayed in Texas, and it was bang, bang, bang. And it's, I don't know how they do it. And the pros, you go every week, but you have a a week off between two. These guys are literally one day between, and it's on it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I've always wanted to do Daytona and like do the whole Spring National, you know, all three, but I've never really been able to do that just because of school. So that was a big thing. I think I did it once, not Daytona, but just Moto Playground Springing and Freestone.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I just go do one and then just pack it up and come home. You know, parents had to work, I had school. So
here's an idea.
Kind of a bummer, but
keep having success. 250 West next year. Beg, plead, borrow, whatever. Hey, Matt, how about I've never done Daytona. Why don't you just put me in the Daytona Supercross and skip the whole RCMX thing, and you just do a 450 in the Daytona Supercross.
Ride a 450 at Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, it's
that would be fun.
It's a similar track, but, hey, you get to do it as a pro instead. So
that is definitely one I want to check off the bucket list. I mean, you know, we've been watching it for years, and it looks so gnarly, but it's just like something about it. Like, I just want to go race that, you know?
Well, it's just the anticipation every year of that race, and it's a fan favorite. I do think there's going to be some changes next year because of all the shenanigans that happened this year. Like, I was there personally. It was wild. We've been there for 6 years running at this point, and it's never been to that extent. Hold on.
You still there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we had So, what does the rest of this year look like for you? Obviously, you've got the rest of the West Coast Supercross, but what's the rest of 2024 look like for you?
So right now, nothing's kind of, you know, written out or anything like that. You know, obviously, I hope I'd be able to sign again with the HBI crew and race some outdoors. I really want to do that. But as of now, you know, nothing's official, nothing's in writing or anything like that. But yeah, all I can do is just keep doing my best in Supercross and hopefully, you know, get signed for outdoors.
Cool.
So how does it feel to ride for HBI and, how are the team dynamics for you?
It's rad. You know, Matt and Darla Bell, they're awesome. Chris, the team manager, he's rad. And it's a cool, like, it's kind of like a family-oriented team. Like, everyone's super cool with each other, and it's just it's super easy going. Yet, you know, let's go out there and get this done, and you know, go out there and do our best. So it's cool. It's very, I wouldn't say light, but it's gives you room to do kind of, I don't even know how to say, but it doesn't feel like you have so much pressure on you. You get to go out there and do what you know how to do.
And you can kind of like run your own program in a way. It's like I said, Matt and Darla are great. The whole team's great. Obviously, we know them all. Cole Bradford trains my kids quite a bit.
Sweet.
So, you know, we're around them frequently. But no, they're well known in the industry for their dynamics and how they operate. And it's awesome to see you on there as well. So going forward, you know, what are your big goals that you'd like to accomplish?
I want to get it into the main, obviously the rest of the rounds. And then the East West shootout, those are going to be gnarly. So obviously just get into the heats, qualify, you know, into the heats, and then just kind of, you know, do what I can and kind of like, you know, try to build my name is basically the best I can describe it. Just, you know, at least be on the bubble or, you know, I really want to get in, but, right now we're a little bit off the speed. So just keep building. That's the big thing. This is the building year and just keep progressing. And so, you know, next year when I come back in, I come back in swinging.
It makes sense. And you talked about being a little bit off, and I really appreciate that honesty because it's hard to get riders to actually talk about that kind of stuff. Is it turning? Is it jumping? Is it timing? What do you feel is like causing you to be that little bit off?
My two big things are the whoops and my intensity. So like for a fast lap, I can put down like some good intensity, but like throughout the motos, I start off and I lose it and I have it back. Like I'm really working on just kind of putting all the puzzle pieces together. Sometimes like I watch the video, I'm like, dang, like I was literally out there for a weekend cruise. Like didn't look like I was going that fast at all. Like, so I just got to really kind of remember that this is the job I want. This is what I want to do for a living, and just kind of keep that in mind and keep building off that. and just keep pushing. That's the big thing. I just always kind of just find myself out there riding around. So I just got to keep the intensity up and get through the whoop. So I've been doing a lot of whoop practice these last few weeks.
That's actually pretty cool. I mean, I appreciate that honesty and the candor. That is really cool to hear that, because, you know, a lot of times, like, oh, I just need to twist it. Well, it's not always about twisting. No. Sometimes yeah. It's about, just like you said, it's just the intensity. Because you can go out there and twist it, and if you're not intense, you're going to ding yourself up pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been really focusing on that, training with Martin, and, even my mechanic's been hard on me about it, but, you know, it's for the best.
So I want to touch on your school stuff, because I think it's awesome. You're one of the few guys who's now on the pro tour and actually went to school. You said you started classes. Is that something you want to continue to do during your pro career, or do you want to do after your pro career? And what is it you want to study?
Yeah, so I originally wanted to become a mechanical engineer. I like to say I'm pretty good with numbers. And, you know, my sister's going to school for civil engineering. So I kind of have to like keep up with her. But, when I started community college, I was like, okay, you know, that's a lot of work if I do decide to, race again. So I just went in to get, you know, business, managing, marketing, all that. I want to get my A in business. But like right now I took the semester off. They have some kind of rushed classes in the fall. So I'll probably pick up about 3 classes when the outdoor season's done. And then just bust those out before Supercross starts, and just kind of keep building that side of, you know, that part of my brain, and just keep going with that.
It's actually not bad, though. I mean, you look at guys like that have educated themselves while they're racing, whether that's in class or reading or whatever. Yep. There's nothing wrong, because it kind of works a different part of your brain than just hitting a set of whoops, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you look at guys like Cartwright. I mean, Cartwright went to school, you know, he's got a job, and he's still racing on the weekends. Like, I talked to him, I want to say it was my first round of futures last year, and he was like super open about it, and he's like, yeah, dude, I think it's great, you know. So ever since having that conversation with him, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm gonna, not, you know, to the extent that he did, but just kind of slowly chip away at the classes to try to get just my A in business, just to start, you know, just so I have it if I decide to go anywhere.
That's very commendable. Yeah.
And we talk about Cartwright quite a bit on here, because he's very commendable. It's hard to hold a full-time job and actually work at the races. That guy will take his computer and work at the races, as you know, and then go out and race and still come back and work. You know, it's wild crazy. What he does. There's very few that can do that and actually maintain the way that he does. But outside of racing, outside of schooling, like what do you like to do as a hobby, do for fun, you know, just as a normal human being?
I really enjoy mountain biking is great. Golfing, obviously. But other than that, really nothing, just a lot of family time, you know, and just, I don't know, racing consumes a lot of our time, especially again, how far I live away from the track. So I get home, I go to the gym, and I just go to bed. Like, I don't really do much. But yeah, golfing's fun. I think it's one that a lot of riders do just because of the risk. There's really no risk. So yeah, just trying to keep my mind open and just keep on going.
Racing is successful for you, and you're having a career. Obviously, you want to do the best you can, but let's say you're a Cade Clayson or a Josh Cartwright. They were in Finland this year to race, and guys are getting to go to Australia. Is there a country that you would like to go visit, and since you get to go visit it, go race?
Yeah, actually, I've been talking to my dad and my uncle a lot about it. Like, if I got the opportunity to go to Australia, I'd for sure do it. Like, I've always wanted to go there. I've always talked about racing there, or even Europe, you know, any of that stuff. I think that'd be cool, but Australia is definitely one I want to check off my bucket list.
You go there with the American accent and, you know, I got you. But, no, I say that because we have a local kid here from Auburndale, Jack Chambers, who was giving it a go in Supercross, and now he's racing MXGP first round there in Argentina. They're going to start. I mean, I don't know what the ride's like that he has, but really, who cares? You're traveling the world racing your dirt bike.
Like,
so you get those opportunities to do those kind of winter races. Like you said, you might have to cram some classes in while you're going to these races, but why not? That's one of those things that I think the sport can take you places that you never would get to go if you allow it to.
Yeah, definitely. So that's one thing I'm kind of looking forward to if it happens. And I think it'd be a really cool opportunity, you know, you get to go out and go to, like you said, go to a different country and the sport just takes you there, which is awesome.
You need to meet Eric Pernard.
Yeah.
That's the guy. Like, you need to meet him and get him hooked up with
him. Get him over there.
Yeah.
We could probably make that happen.
Talk
it over with Matt.
Yeah.
But no, it's awesome. Everything you're doing is awesome. It's awesome to do it at such a young age.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and get the experience that you're getting. It's obviously very, very few people get to experience the things that you're experiencing right now. And live out the dreams like this, you know, it's a 0.5% of people that actually get to ride for a living. So,
yep.
Keep plugging away at it for sure.
Will you fly to Seattle or drive up?
I'm flying with my mom and my dad, and my mechanic will. He's driving my suspension and a few other parts and stuff that we gotta put on the rig.
I was just curious because it's. I know it's a long way, but I didn't know if it was one of those drivable ones.
I think it's like 16 hours.
That's crazy.
If we,
that's nuts.
But we drove obviously to all the California. Rounds and then Glendale. Yeah. Like San Fran was only 6 hours. It wasn't anything too gnarly.
So you're out there in California. What are we looking for weather for Seattle this weekend?
Not good.
Looking at another motor.
What a season.
I tell you, I packed all of my goggle stuff, like three times as many socks as I would pack, extra gear, gloves, you know, helmet pads, everything.
What a season.
I think I overpacked a little bit, but
that's all
yeah,
right.
I think this will make the fifth mud race. It was San Fran, San Diego, Daytona, Alabama, and then now Seattle.
I will say,
you want to count Daytona as a mud race.
But. I was in Alabama, and it started muddy. That track finished up pretty sweet. I mean, the bikes were almost clean at the end of that race, as long as you stayed on track.
And the same with Daytona. Yeah. You know, qualifying and all that got muddy, and then the track actually turned out beautifully, minus the ruts. The ruts were gnarly.
But San Fran was a true. I mean, that was. You might as well just raced in the swimming pool we have out here.
Oh, that was so gnarly.
There's no way to prepare for that, right?
No, not unless you want to go blow up some bikes or. You know.
So how was that race?
Track.
In your opinion,
So I was still in B practice, and we were the first people on the track, and we had the one qualifier, right? So it was great. I think I qualified 13th or 14th, first heat. So track was fresh. And I just stayed up. Like, I wasn't going, you know, I was, like, by no means the fastest guy on the track. I was just kept it on two wheels. I never had that, like, you know, astronomical lap time of, you know, a minute longer or whatever. Yeah. So I just stayed up, and I ended up, I think I ended up 7th or 8th in the heat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right through the heat, didn't have to mess with the LCQ. And then when the main came around, the track was so gnarly. It was brutal, especially being a shorter guy, just kind of paddling through it.
It didn't look fun. I race off-road, and I told Derek, I'm like, dude, there are some hair scramble guys that are just laughing at these supercross guys, knowing they could never on a dry track, could not even make it over the jumps. But tonight, they have a chance.
Yeah, we looked like absolute beginners out there, like feet off, just
It wasn't. It
everywhere.
Honestly wasn't even fun to watch. Like, it was... I felt so bad for you guys. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, so you know we're used to some of these gnarly mudders, but that was just miserable. Like, as a fan, I would have hated to pay to go to that race and try to watch it. But like, from us as the standpoint that we're in or you're in, it's you know what it's doing to the bikes. I mean, it's no fun to watch your rider out there riding and just destroying everything that he has.
Yeah. I felt bad for the mechanics, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's not fun.
I have a quick question. You go to all these cool cities, and I know it's a job. Mm-hmm. You guys usually get in on late Thursday or Friday. Do you ever get to enjoy something of the city?
So, because, like, you know, obviously Anaheim, we live right here. San Diego, we've been down there a ton. And, like, Glendale, when they used to have, like, the Futures on Sunday, where everyone rides, like, we've been there, we have family out there. So, like, the only one we really like got to do anything or like we haven't been to is San Fran, and we just kind of walked around a little bit and kind of enjoyed it. But it was raining, so like it wasn't you know too fun. But I think we fly into Seattle tomorrow morning, so Thursday. So we'll probably, you know, go to the store, buy some snacks or whatever, and then go look around, sightsee a little bit.
Yeah, because it's a pretty cool town, and like when you go to St. Louis, like you get to like take in stuff. I was just wondering because so many guys just go race, and it's like, dude, you get to go to these cool places and experience. I'm not saying go crazy and go clubbing, but like go see what the city has to offer.
Yeah, go sightsee, go, you know, rent a bike or rent a scooter and just go cruise around and just, you know, take a few hours out of your day and go be a normal person.
Yeah, yeah. I was just curious if that was something that happened because I think that's something that gets lost.
Yeah, and that's something we stress on this kind of stuff a lot. Like, you guys are still human beings. And, you know, there's obviously fans that look up to you guys, and there's when you're at a race, there's fans just, you know, overbearing everything, and then you know, people see you guys on TV, but we stress a lot that you're still humans. Like, you're not machines. You know, it's just a job. And for most of you, it's just fun. You know, it's a hobby that's a job. So it is important to, you know, to take note of that and still get to go out and be a human being and enjoy the little bits of life and especially the opportunity that's put in your lap. So.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I think that's, like, another cool thing is, like, when I was in high school, I kind of got to live the normal life a little bit while racing. So then now, like, now that it is a job, I'm still fresh. I'm not like, oh, I'm tired of this. Like, you know, I'm like, dude, this is sweet.
Yeah.
You know, so I still kind of remember to live, you know, the normal life along with you know, putting the time in for moto.
Yeah, that's definitely something you don't want to lose. Like, once you lose that, it seems to be just downhill from there. A lot of the big guys will say, you know, once they lost the excitement, that was it. You know, it then becomes a job, and a job's not fun very long.
No, it's just a job.
Exactly.
as we kind of close you up here, was there something that we didn't ask, or is there a cool fact that we don't know that you want to share with us?
I think we covered everything, really.
Okay. Well, my last question that I have is, the motorsports world is such a family dynamic sport, whether it's cars or motorcycles or whatever. How is the dynamic with your family, and do you feel that as you move forward, you see the John Tomacs and the Kier Sextons and all that, do you see that dynamic continuing, or do you see yourself at some point mom and dad going, hey, you got a boss, we're going to go be fans?
I think my mom's really good at kind of just stepping out. You know, she obviously makes me food throughout the race day, and my dad's been really good too, just kind of stepping out, and you know, he'll come in and he'll give me, you know, the advice he sees from up in the stands, but for the most part they just let, you know, my mechanic Jay, Chris, when Matt's there, they kind of handle everything. If he has something to say, he'll be like, hey guys, you know, maybe let's try this, or you know, he'll ask me, hey, how do you feel about this? So I don't see him necessarily, or even my mom. I think it's so, you know, we've been riding for so long. You know, we all started in the desert with all of our neighbors, and you know, we've been racing for a long time, put a lot into it. So I think they'll always have something, you know, to say or some advice. So I don't see them going away completely. I think they'll always, you know, be there and just trying to help mainly.
That's really cool. And the fact that you still have a good relationship with mom and dad, that doesn't always happen in this sport. So congratulations on that, and congratulations
Thank
to mom
you.
And dad for getting you through school. I mean, that's huge. That is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But no, it's really impressed. Derek, I'm going to let you wrap this one up.
No, like I said, it's a pleasure having you here. So we'll actually, I can't wait to meet you. We're going to be in Nashville for the East-West Shootout.
Sweet.
So
yeah, that'll be awesome.
We'll definitely pop in and talk a little bit. But like I said, congratulations on all the success that you've had so far. Like I said, this is a fun one for us because HBI is a local team to us. Matt lives about 15 minutes up the road from me, so we're pretty intertwined with them, and they sponsor all of the amateur stuff around here. So you're a pretty big hit over here. My oldest son, he's 8 years old. He's actually pretty upset that you weren't coming to the house to do the interview like the rest of them do. He was searching the house for stuff for you to autograph. So.
That's funny. Well, when I get a few extra jerseys or a number plate, I'll have to send one your guys'
there
way.
There you go. Well, he's going to come and tell us at the East West Shootout too in Nashville.
Awesome.
So I'll make sure that he gets his proper introduction.
If you if you see an old man at HBI at St. Louis, because I think I might be in St. Louis.
Yeah.
If you see a guy milling about HBI's pits, it's probably just me and my wife. So, I'll introduce myself and let you get back to your business. But
awesome.
No, it's We can't wait to see where your future goes. We hope the best for you. Thanks for coming on, because it's
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's really great to have guys like you, especially young kids just coming into the sport and getting your take on, you know, what it was like to go through futures and now being pro. And it gives some of these other kids that actually watch this kind of stuff to have something to look forward to. And that's kind of what we strive to do. So like I said, thanks again for coming on. I can't wait to see how you do this weekend. Wish you the best of luck. I hope to God it's not so muddy. Maybe we can get some good racing in.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll definitely look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, likewise. I appreciate it, guys.
Slade, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And good luck this weekend, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Dude, how cool is that? We have another guy on the phone. And get a perspective from literally a straight up rookie.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like I said, it's awesome to see guys like that, and they keep the kids, as you know, as I mentioned, I got an 8-year old that just, you know, adores the guy. He loves all pros, but it gives them something to look forward to. So
I think you're working with Caleb Groves on some stuff, and he's helped your kids, and he's around seeing someone like that. That, I mean, let's be honest, Slade wasn't the most heralded amateur coming out.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's making mains and making night shows and going through the grind, he's got some support.
Mm-hmm.
And you show that to a kid like a Caleb Gross, who's like, okay, I'm ready to make that next step. Oh, okay, cool. It's doable.
Yeah.
And it's realistically doable.
That's what I mean. It keeps the dreams alive. I know this sport really, really drags you down. As Slade said, you know, this, I'm done. You know, I'm going to school.
Yeah.
And then an opportunity came. So he's a prime example of what opportunities are still there. So it's great to have him on and to hear his take on how it can be done. Yep. So,
well, that was a good pull by you. Thank you very much for that. I don't know what this episode is going to be called, but it's here and it'll be out. And
be another one of those meet Slade Varola.
Yeah. And pretty exciting. And it, right before we head to Seattle and then St. Louis. So back to back, we got them as they go back to back here. So, pretty cool. And you know what? That was fun. And by the way, the pool deck is absolutely beautiful today.
Yeah, it looks good. It
feels good.
It's decently warm. It's pretty freezing this morning.
It's nice.
It's comfortable. Bugs are coming back. Spring's here in Florida.
But it's very comfortable. It is a comfortable night on the pool deck.
Yeah. So. Comfortable. It was great talking to him.
Yeah.
We definitely got some more in the pipeline. Like I said, I mentioned on episode 47 just a couple days ago, we got quite a bit in the pipeline. So I look forward to getting that out in the public here soon. Everything that we have going on and what's stemming off of this. So. Once we get there, but we'll see when we can get some other guys on. And
what do they say? We'll get there when it's time.
That's right.
We'll get there when it's time.
And when it's time, it's going to be some pretty awesome stuff, so definitely stay tuned for all that.
But thank you guys for joining us for this impromptu episode set up by Derek. We'll get it out as quick as possible, and we're going to have some exciting stuff to talk about Monday.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys in Seattle, and we'll be here first thing Monday to recap it all.
He's Derek Schaefer with DBS Custom Fabrication and Handyman Services. I'm still Trey Heath with Michelle and Trey Real Estate, and we are together Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. We're out. Bye-bye.
See ya.